I thought of the scars I'd seen, those tangles of knotted string, but said nothing. I didn't really know anything. And now that the uncontrollable urge to laugh had passed, I felt too ashamed of myself to speak up. "It's just one of those cripple things, isn't it?" Ronnie asked. Actually faced with an adult, he had lost his shrill cockiness. He sounded unsure, perhaps even uneasy. "Muscular palsy or cerebral dystrophy or..." "You clown," Lenny said. "It's muscular dystrophy and cerebral..." "He was in a car accident," Nate said. We all looked around at him. Nate still looked neat and totally put together in spite of the soaking he'd taken. This afternoon, he was wearing a Fort Kent High School ski hat. The Maine football team had finally scored a touchdown and freed Nate from his beanie. Go you Black Bears. 4 years ago, his father, mother, and older sister were killed. He was the only family survivor. There was silence. I looked between Skip and Tony's shoulders and into the examination room. Stokes still lay streaming on the table, his head turned to the side, his eyes shut. The nurse was taking his blood pressure. His pants clung to his legs, and I thought of the 4th of July parade they used to have back home in Gates Falls when I was just a little kid. Uncle Sam would come striding along between the school band and the Anna Temple Shrine guys on their midget motorcycles, looking at least 10 feet tall in his starry blue hat. But when the wind blew his pants against his legs, you could see the trick. That's what Stoke Jones's legs looked like inside his wet pants. A trick, a bad joke, sawed-off stilts with sneakers poked onto the ends of them. "How do you know that?" Skip asked. "Did he tell you, Nady?" "No." Nate looked ashamed. "He told Harry Swidrowski after a committee of resistance meeting. We were in the bear's den. Harry asked him right out what happened to his legs, and Stoke told him." I thought I understood the look on Nate's face. "After the meeting," he had said. After. Nate didn't know what had been said at the meeting because Nate hadn't been there. Nate wasn't a member of the Committee of Resistance. Nate was strictly a sidelines boy. He might agree with the CR's goals and tactics, but he had his mother to think about, and his future as a dentist. "Spinal injury?" the doctor asked, brisker than ever. "I think so, yeah," Nate said. "All right." Doc began making shooing gestures with his hands, as if we were a flock of geese. "Go on back to your dorms. We'll take good care of him."